It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Wednesday the 28th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. You might not have this in your calendar, but today is Data Privacy Day. It commemorates the signing back in 1981 of the first international treaty dealing with privacy and data protection. The day is supposed to promote best practices for protecting our data, but it's a thorny issue. The Electronic Frontier Foundation just put out a plan to try and end mass surveillance around the globe. Here to talk with us about it is Rainey Reitman, director of the activism team at the Electronic Frontier Foundation. Hi, Rainey.
Hi there.
What are the long-term goals, or a few of them, that the EFF is focused on to try and change how government and the private sector deal with data privacy?
So one of the primary issues we've been dealing with is the issue of mass surveillance, and we're particularly focused on the NSA. And where the NSA can't be reined in or it's taking a long time, how can we give people tools to protect themselves with encryption and tools like that?
All right. What's the next big battle then for activism organizations like the EFF in terms of really changing this?
So we kind of have a couple of different things going on right now, but I think the next big thing on the horizon is a section of the Patriot Act, known as Section 215, is going to expire this June. And that is the section of law that is being used currently to justify sweeping in hundreds of millions of people's telephone records. So when I call my mother, there's a record of that that the National Security Agency gets.
And we're talking about metadata here, right? We're not talking about actual content of your conversation with your mother, just the fact that you called her.
That's correct. The time, the date, how long the phone call was, how often I make those phone calls, things like that. So there's a lot of people who, myself included, hope that Congress will use this opportunity this year to revisit that debate and get rid of that program altogether or revise it so it doesn't sweep in the communications of so many people who are innocent.
Rainey Reitman is director of the activism team at the Electronic Frontier Foundation that has been working on this issue. Rainey, thank you very much.
Thanks so much for having me.
This year, we're taking a regular opportunity to go back to Back to the Future Part 2. Because in the 1989 movie about time travel, Michael J. Fox's Marty McFly character ends up here.
2015? You mean we're in the future?
And the movie made a lot of predictions about technology we'd have now. One of the movie's misses was the internet. Instead, it predicted video chat projectors and fax machines. We've been doing this series in partnership with the website Gizmodo and Matt Novak, who runs Gizmodo's Paleo Future blog. Matt, nice to have you back.
Well, thanks for having me again.
This is one of the things that the movie kind of got totally wrong.
Faxes. Kind of totally sort of wrong.
So we should talk a little bit about the scene in the movie where this happens, right? It's when Marty, as an old man, comes home. There's a video chat service, and he has a discussion with one of his coworkers.
How's it hanging, McFly?
Hey, Needles.
The coworker is trying to get him to do something.
Did you take a look at that little business proposal of mine?
And it turns out that their boss is listening in to this video chat call.
You are terminated!
Terminated, no!
And then all of these little fax machines in the house spit out a message, you're fired.
Oh, this is heavy.
And it's fascinating because printouts are just the most logical thing in the world. Throughout the 20th century, even when we were thinking about the dawn of network computing in the late 60s, people were still imagining, well, of course you're going to print these things out. We had this biased conception. It's fascinating how history can bias you towards believing that this is the only way a certain medium can exist.
This happened right at this moment, right? This movie came out in 1989. The beginnings of the internet and the web, we were seeing some shoots of that, right, coming through the earth. But it just wasn't far enough for them to predict something that looked anything like what we have now.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. I think that the internet was something that existed in the 1980s. You know, people were aware of it, but they weren't quite sure how it would be used in the everyday home. Like, you know, after Marty swipes his card,
scan it. I'm in.
It says, thank you for using AT&T. And that echoes a lot of the predictions from companies like AT&T during this period. You know, for example, you would use an AT&T video phone payphone. You know, we don't have payphones that are picture phones as AT&T envisioned. The picture phone is right in our pockets.
What do you think is weirder, our imagination of how it will be or what actually happens?
I really think it's mixed. I think that people imagined absolutely crazy things in the past. But at the same time, if you told people, say, you know, Hugo Gernsback, who was imagining 1920s flying cars, if you told him about the internet and the way that we utilize it today, it would still blow his mind. So I think it's so hard to say what's weirder because we are really living in weird times.
Matt Novak is our guide to all things Back to the Future Part 2. He's the author of the Paleo Future blog at Gizmodo. Matt, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me. It's been fun.
You can send us your feedback and ideas for our series at DeLoreanHistorians@gmail.com. We got a note the other day from Andy. He said we should tackle Marty's self-drying coat. He writes, logistics seem somewhat complicated, but a smart coat does seem within reach. Is it? Andy, consider us on the case. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.